Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, quick, name the first state in the country to have teacher tenure. New Jersey, which put the first K-12 tenure system on the books in 1909. Well, as it begins its second century, the system just received a major overhaul. Last week on this show, New Jersey State Senator, the Senate Majority Leader, Stephen Sweeney, told us that the tenure bill was passed and was chiefly the work of State Senator Teresa Ruiz, who represents parts of Essex County, Belleville, and Northern Newark. In particular, Senator Ruiz, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll also ask you about the special session that Governor Christie called to finalize the budget and give a big speech on Tuesday. But teacher tenure, since 1909, tenure has kicked in after 3 years and one day on the job. Now, how does a New Jersey teacher earn tenure?
Well, so there were a lot of different pieces that that needed to get discussed. Initially, we kept hearing that tenure, as it was constructed prior to the bill being created, was defined by 3 years and a day, and that oftentimes across the board and irrespective of what district, it would take too long time to remove an underperforming employee and a costly one. And so when we engaged in the conversation, you kept hearing that from every stakeholder across the board. So we figured out a way to kind of adhere to those two provisions that seemed to be a common theme. But I realized early on that this was much greater than just creating an effective and an efficient way. This was about supporting the most important profession in the state and in this country to ensure that we had mechanisms in place that would create a longer time frame to get tenure attainment with a mentorship year. So it's a four-year process up to that date. 2 years after the first year mentorship year were bankable years as far as your evaluation. Two out of the three have to be in a positive evaluation to get tenure attainment. And then that we would create a bill that would follow the lifetime of the career professional so that every year you were getting evaluated, but that every year had a determining factor in your career path, one that would develop a corrective action plan if there were deficiencies that were identified, and one that would allow for professional supports.
So you make it harder to get tenure in the ways you just laid out, and you make it easier to lose tenure. For example, if a teacher, even one tenured under the old system, gets two consecutive years of an ineffective rating, the superintendent can file a charge of ineffectiveness with the Board of Education. What happens then?
2 years of an ineffective rating, the superintendent must. So it's different than a can factor, must file charges of inefficiency.
Okay.
And so it goes through a very expedited time frame that goes before an arbitration panel that has representations from different various stakeholder groups. And the case is presented before them and due process is enacted.
So can we call this tenure anymore? This is starting to sound pretty different from what most college professors with tenure have, which is a much stronger lifetime job security, though it is very difficult to achieve tenure at the college level. I think that's another big difference. Nevertheless, what does tenure mean? If you can be given it or not along the way, and if you can be removed for just 2 years of ineffectiveness?
I think that the reason why we call it tenure reform is because obviously everybody recognizes that and understands what it means. The name of the bill is Teach New Jersey, the Teacher Effectiveness and Accountability Act for New Jersey's Children. And I think that that's what the global conversation will surround itself around when you look at the tenets of the bill. This is just not about a time frame and a lifetime protection. This is about a continuing livable, breathable bill that will follow a person when they're in a school system to do several things, not to identify underperforming instructors and professionals and give people an opportunity to get rid of them in a quicker and more efficient way when it comes to money, but to provide supports and corrective action plans to ensure that we keep the best, that we secure the best, and that we promote the best.
Any New Jersey teachers listening right now? We don't have a lot of time for this, but on summer vacation, I know you're out there, so give us a call. Do you think this is going to affect you? Do you think that if you're not one of the teachers who's at risk of being removed for two consecutive years of ineffectiveness, that this is going to make your colleagues better, that this is going to make your school environment better? Do you accept the idea that there are a lot of ineffective teachers out there who are just getting by because they had tenure, and that was hurting the kids? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for State Senator Teresa Ruiz, who primarily authored the tenure reform bill that has passed. 212-433-9692, or post your comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Great acronym for that bill, by the way, TEACH-NJ,
correct,
standing for the Teacher Effectiveness and Accountability for the Children, there's the CH, for the Children of New Jersey Act. I've seen a lot worse on other legislation. But it is always controversial when you institute any kind of a rating system. So you have four categories. Let me go down so our listeners know. Ineffective, partially effective, effective, and highly effective. And teachers receive tenure after receiving a rating of effective or highly effective in two annual evaluations within a three-year time span after their first year of employment. I guess the bottom line question is, how real are the effectiveness ratings?
Well, I think that the Department of Education has been embarking on a new mission we've seen with the pilot programs to create rubric systems that will set minimal standards for every district across the board. The bill speaks to the overarching policy and system to allow districts to operate. It is the responsibility of the Department of Education to create through regulation the day-to-day management. So they've been embarking on this evaluation pilot program. Next year, more districts will be involved in it. And, you know, across the board, you've heard from experts, there isn't one specific evaluation system that we can point to and say that works great, but the other that works, you know, perfectly, rather, not that it's not great, but that the key focus and that we speak to in the legislation is that we're not using one measure of to evaluate a professional, that we're using multiple measures and that they're all surrounded around student growth.
And how much of that is centered around standardized tests? In New York, for example, this new system of evaluation they're going to institute has 20% to 40% of a teacher's evaluation based on their class's standardized test scores. How about in your bill in New Jersey?
So we don't have any percentages structured within the bill. We just talk within general constructs to ensure that long after we're all gone, one department cannot come in and use one practice measure to evaluate professionals. So we just speak to using multiple measures, and we added language after a compromise conversation to ensure that it wasn't just using a composite standardized test, that the DOE would engage in securing a base practice across the board for districts to ensure different avenues to explore student growth measures.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Sarah in Ridgefield Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So I'm from New Jersey. I went to a magnet high school in northern New Jersey. And one thing that always bothered us as students was that the tenure process seemed really opaque. Often the teachers we found most effective were not granted tenure, whereas folks who did have tenure did not seem nearly as effective. And I don't think that was a factor of tenure. I don't know what it was a factor of, but I do know that it is troubling to me that the voices of students aren't considered more strongly. Because, first of all, they're the ones with an actual stake in it. And second of all, every piece of research has shown that student evaluations do tend to match up with opinion of effective teachers. Students don't just lobby for teachers who, like, are easy or whatever.
All right.
So I wonder if there's space for student voices in what you're talking about.
Thank you very much. Senator Ruiz?
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. So districts, as long as the DOE sets up the state standards that they're going to do, it doesn't prevent a district from including other factors for the evaluation process. We just wanted to be sure that we had a state standard that was the base minimum, and then districts can explore other avenues for including in the evaluation process. I think she brings up an interesting point, to hear from the perspective of the student, but I think that we were focused to ensure that we were monitoring the growth of the student and that would be reflective in what the professional was doing in the class.
But what Sarah says and most of what we've been talking about has to do with the effectiveness of teachers and hanging tenure on that. Here's a comment from a listener named Hazel who wrote on our website, "The whole point of tenure is so that teachers are not exposed to the political vagaries. Otherwise, every new mayor would replace those teachers who didn't support him or her with one who did. I was a non-tenure teacher who didn't buy a fundraising ticket for the mayor of my school district, and my contract wasn't renewed." So she asks, how do you protect teachers from political retribution or evaluations based on ulterior motives? And that was the origin of tenure, wasn't it?
Correct. And so I think it just, again, that supports why it's important to have an evaluation in place that is leaning towards a more objective process. So that if there are subjectivity matters that would get called in, when you see that the classroom is growing exponentially during the course of the year, that will be the first point of review. So if someone is trying to arbitrarily get rid of you because you have not participated in extracurricular activities that you shouldn't be participating if you don't want to, that you're looking at the growth of the classroom and that is what will engage in ensuring your job protection.
Hugo, a teacher in Clinton, is that where you are, or Clifton?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I teach in an Abbott school system for political reasons. As you can imagine, I cannot identify the school. Let us just say that I used to work in Melbourne High School, which was number one in the state, still is.
Very affluent district, and the Abbott district is a poor district, so go ahead.
Okay, and basically I have classes of 32, 35 children. Most of them cannot speak a single word of English. I teach U.S. history, and the problem is that the politicians, with all due respect, are not willing to address the issues that affect teachers most, like me, in the classroom. For example, language competency, the problems that these children are being coming into the school system with a third or fourth degree, fourth level education, and their juniors and seniors, how do we graduate them? The system does not want to wait too long because my system is paying about $24,000 per child per year. Mm-hmm. So it is economically inefficient to keep those kids in the system until they learn English. And so I teach U.S. history in Spanish in whatever way so as to push them through the system. The problem is, why is it that politicians never address the issues that seem to affect what teachers do the most in the classroom?
Does that come back to haunt you in the tenure system at all, which is our topic for today?
All the time, sir. I have supervisors who have not spent a single day in a high school setting. That they come in from elementary or sometimes without any education background whatsoever, maybe perhaps an ESL background, and they tell us, well, this year we're going to try this educational reform.
Right.
It's horrendous.
I get your point. There's a lot in there. Give us a quick response. And I think he points up a lot of very real problems, right, Senator Ruiz?
Right. And Hugo, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the work that you do. When we engaged in this process, no one stepped up and said that this was the magic silver bullet to ensuring that all of our school systems were going to turn around. What we did recognize, and I think it's something that you've highlighted, is that one of the biggest variables in the success of the growth of a child in any educational setting across the board, and there's been national studies, has been the impact of a great professional, which is the majority of professionals that we have in the state, in teacher quality and performance. I think that you're speaking to, when I hear push students through, that is a very that's you know, a critical nightmare that I hope is not facing the majority of our public schools. But this is one element that we have to deal with, and so there are other things that we have to address. Our curriculum, is our curriculum up to speed with 21st century models of global economy? Are we providing the best avenues for children to learn? Are we giving teachers fluidity in the classroom so that they can actually have those outcomes? And I think that those discussions are being had through the mm-hmm. Department of Education to ensure that we have best teacher quality and best student quality.
We are really out of time, but make the case to a college student listening right now, deciding between teaching and some other professional track. Because I'm concerned that all of this may help get rid of bad teachers, but could also hurt the ongoing drive to recruit good teachers. So it's getting easier to get fired from teaching. Health and pension benefits are going down. Governor Christie jumps on the teachers, or at least through their union, as if they're some kind of criminals. And you'll be judged more and more on standardized tests. How attractive does this combination of trends make it to the good people you want to become teachers?
I think that this bill precisely does the opposite of what you're describing. When we engaged in this conversation, there could have been other ones that were occurring for different reasons. It was a very positive approach as to ensuring that everyone recognizes that we should respect and we should support the most important profession in this state and in this country. It is not about harder to get and quicker to lose. More importantly, it's created a system of the in-between factor that provides for professional development supports for the career professional. It is extraordinary to be in front of a classroom, and it's a profession where you do not have the ability to take a time out. But as a society, I think that we have done a disservice to the profession. We viewed it as something easy to be or something that is not as important as other things. From my standpoint, from my perspective, where the genesis of this bill came was to ensure that we had a policy in place that took a century-old statute, that revisited, that modified it, that made transformative change for the professional, for the teacher, and for the learner. And that this is only part of the process, that we have to ensure that our higher ed institutions are developing the best qualified individuals for career choice, and that after we have all these new policies in place, we should really take a look at how we pay professionals across the board. Teaching is one of the most important professions. I keep saying that time and time and again. It creates the next it creates the foundation. It creates the next generation of leaders. When we talk about economic development in the state of New Jersey, education must be part of the conversation when policymakers are creating new legislation. And so when we evaluate all of that, let's take a look down the road. How are we paying professionals? If you're in the system for years on end, are we paying enough? And how do we secure and keeping the best? So I think that this bill does opposite to the remarks of what you were making, that ensures that professionals will be working amongst each other in a very dignified way.
Let's hope that's the outcome. State Senator Teresa Ruiz, who represents parts of Essex County, mostly Belleville and Northern Newark, and who wrote the teacher tenure reform bill, which is now enacted into legislation, into law. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll start a July series on what else? Air conditioning. Stay tuned.